So, Southside Broadcasting on location once again with an audio postcard in association with Pharma Non-Nutritional Supplements and, of course, the Midweek Drive on sirenonline.co.uk at Countryside Live 2013. Ed, we're speaking to a genuinely wonderful soul. Earlier today, of course, we spoke to the show director, Bill Cowling. We're now speaking to, or about to speak to, the chief executive officer for the Yorkshire Agricultural Society, the equivalent to Jane Southall, and you can't get higher praise than that. It, of course, is Nigel Pulling. How are you, Nigel?
I'm very well, thank you.
I just put things to bed, sort of. Certainly, Jane Southall, of course, is the Chief Executive Officer of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, not the Yorkshire Agricultural Society.
That's right. I am, as far as I know, I'm still Chief Executive.
And rightly so. Okay, Ed, questions for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a few months back that we were here for the Great Yorkshire Show. And that must seem, you know, a blink of an eye, really, looking back. But this is a very different event, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, it's got some of the same elements, but, I mean, in scale, it's a more relaxed event, very family-orientated, and very enjoyable, but it hasn't quite got the scale and the impact of the Great Yorkshire, but it's lovely, it's on a weekend, so it's just a bit different.
Katie, it's your first time, I believe, in Yorkshire, so alone the Yorkshire Harrogate Society event, so thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, it's really interesting just watch the sheep, dancing sheep, but what other events are coming up?
What, at the showgrounds?
Yeah.
Well, generally speaking, we have events all during the year. Most of them aren't organised by us, but we organise a lot of educational events. We had a Careers in Focus, that was a couple of weeks ago, but our two main events are the Great Yorkshire and this one. But, I mean, today, for example, I've just been over to the pavilions of Harrogate, and we've got Thai boxing and a christening on. So there's always something going on at the showground.
Interesting you mentioned Thai boxing when we have two correspondents from Birmingham who actually joined us. The other one, of course, being the man who's actually behind his camera here. Look at this, Nigel. Is it wonderful? On camera as well as everything else. This is Ian Mills. Ian, thoughts for yourself?
A very good morning. I'd like to say it's grown, apparently. I've been told how it's grown. As well as when the weather's bad, you've already catered for. You've got indoor arenas just in case the weather does turn up bad. But luckily, we've got the weather on our side. How big is it growing? Or what's the future for the Yorkshire show?
Or Countryside Live, perhaps.
Countryside Live, sir.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, every year, it's like everything, it develops over the years. And we've got things in the main ring and the White Rose ring, which a couple of years ago, I think the horses were first here in about 2008. And every year, we've got something new, private driving, I think, which was on yesterday, was new for this year. So you just develop it and grow. And people approach us and say, we'd like to bring the Showcross Championship, which was on yesterday, to this show. And so it's sort of... it's a bit like Topsy, it grows every year, and luckily we get more people coming every year, so it works very well for us.
And it's a testament to the success of yourself and obviously the whole show team, really, in terms of how well the whole event actually sort of grows and slickly it's run.
Well, yes, I mean, obviously we have the foundations from the Great Yorkshire Show, and a lot of the same people are involved, but then you get some new people as well, and you rely on a lot of volunteers, whether it's judges or stewards, and then of course we've got the team behind the scenes as well. It is very much a team effort.
Story of chocolate starting in York is something we've already checked out. We'll be going back to that as well, because Katie's put an insistent line on that particular line. Ed, thoughts from yourself?
Obviously, Yorkshire's highly represented here, along with the rest of the north of England, but it's a national event, isn't it?
Certainly, if you looked at the horses and the cattle, I mean, we have them from Devon, Wales. So, yes, I mean, it's a very prestigious event. It's the first one of the autumn big cattle shows. And, of course, everyone wants to win here so they can go on to the next shows and hopefully do well as well. So, yes, people come from far and wide, really.
I was explaining to Ian and Katie in the car on the way up, they said, what's it like at the Yorkshire Showground? And I said, well, it's hard to describe, really, because there's a lot of detail here. You know, if you step outside, it's panoramic views across West Yorkshire. It couldn't be better, really, could it?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I say about it is it probably one of the most beautiful showgrounds in the country. I mean, it's fantastic. Some of the slopes sometimes don't offer themselves aren't as practical, but you do get a fantastic, as I say, panoramic views, and so it makes it a very varied terrain. And we've got ponds and woods and all sorts of things going on. It is quite difficult to describe, though.
I never asked you this question before, Nigel, but of all the sort of species we see here, you know, from sheep, from horses, from cattle and so on, is there a particular favourite you have yourself?
No.
Very good diplomatic answer. Sorry, yeah.
When do we come back in 2014? And when is the Great Yorkshire Show, Clayford?
next year is quite a special year because it's the 8th of July, but we have the Tour de France in Harrogate on the 5th and 6th, which is Saturday and Sunday before, so it's going to be a fantastic few days. And so obviously we're expecting a lot of people to come and watch the cycling, and we're expecting our usual sort of 135,000 plus at the Great Yorkshire 3 days later.
So presumably after this finishes today.
Yes.
So then you just go home and put your feet up for 7 months or something. Do you do nothing else?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because we basically with the Great Yorkshire's in July. July and August you're sort of winding down the previous year, but an amazing amount of planning has already gone on for next July. Because it basically doesn't stop, and you tend to make the big decisions early on, and then it's all about the detail after that. So no, I mean there's a lot of discussions about next July have already taken place.
I know Natalie Tuck, who's one of our correspondents, who's currently in the Loire Valley. We both sort of find it quite amusing in a strange way that Tour de France in Yorkshire, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a fantastic accolade for the region, and it's going to be very popular. I mean, I think it's the third largest sporting event in the world, so we're very honoured to have it in Harrogate, and we will fit it in with our activities, and hopefully people will come to both.
Nigel, a pleasure as ever. We will catch up with you, I'm sure, before too long, because, of course, we've got the third in the Future of the Country show debates to actually set up as well, so hopefully you'll be back in the Lincoln studios before too long.
I hope so, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
So, as we said, next year, 2014, the Tour de France does actually come to Yorkshire. Yorkshire welcomes Le Tour de France, but the Yorkshire Dales Cycling Festival, 3rd to the 6th of July 2014, is, Ed, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience the world's biggest bike race in Kilnsley, Yorkshire.
I will find my bike and oil my chain ready for it, I think, if I can take part. Can we all take part? Can we do this?
I'm sure, yes, anyone can.
we're speaking now to
Alex Wainman.
Alex, good to speak with your good self. Talk a little bit about what is happening on Sunday, the 6th of July 2014, because I see the map behind you there.
Yeah, well, we're open from Thursday the 3rd of July until Sunday the 6th. It's a cycling festival with camping for around 3,000 people. We've got a cycling show on, we've got a food festival, and we've got big screens so everyone can see the race.
Now, Kilnsley, unless I'm way off base, isn't that the area where people obviously will run up and down on a regular basis? Is that right for the Kilnsley show?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, there's the Kilnsley Fell Racing every year.
And also, if memory serves, the origin of the Calendar Girls, is that right?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Just a thought. I mean, I might be wrong on that particular basis. But anyway, Katie, questions for yourself?
I'm not sure what to ask, really.
Cycling. Somebody like Katie who might not even have thought about getting on the bike, what would you advise them to do, Alex?
Advise them to come along. There's lots of trade stands there for people to have a look at cycling. They'll get to see the race go straight past them. It's just great.
You've got camping, you've got live music, you've got parking, secure bike storage, corporate hospitality, sportives.
Yeah, they're organised cycling guides by... Yeah,
nice one. And of course, giant screens, etc. Ian, thoughts from yourself?
Sorry?
Oh, you're a cyclist. You are a cyclist, Ian. I know this. So this should be ideal for yourself next year.
It should be ideal for me. I've just got to fit it into my schedule.
Do you do much cross-country cycling here?
Not really, because I've never been shown the routes, or I've never participated because I wasn't sure about where to go, where not to go, and so on.
So we can't expect to see you entering into the Tour de France when it comes to Yorkshire next year?
No.
But what advice, Alex, would you give Ian about sort of just, you know, as a sort of serious cycler? Because he actually cycles into the studios at Siren to and from his work, etc.
Just carry on cycling. Just look online. There's lots of routes you can go on. Try and cycle stage one, stage two of the Tour de France if you can.
Ed?
Would this be your bike there, sir?
It's not mine. It's one of my colleagues' racing bikes, yeah.
And are you a proper keen... You know, proper cyclist yourself. You must be to be standing on a stand like this.
Yeah, yeah. So I cycle quite a bit.
Have you given many free bottles of Prosecco away today?
Today we've given away a couple. Yesterday we gave away quite a few more. So yeah.
Obviously not to be taken whilst you're cycling, because it's going to be confusing. Listen, how do people get in touch with your good self online? If they're not here today, what's the best way forward? How do they contact you?
They can visit our website at www.fellowfest.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at fellowfest_UK.
And are you excited about the Tour de France coming to Yorkshire?
Very excited.
Well, the time has finally come, Ed, when we can actually welcome Jill Appleton to her first official outside broadcast event. I'm excluding, of course, Jill, all of the events that we did at the James Cook University Hospital when we had the grand experiences of those complementary health fairs.
Yes.
And actually, technically, I suppose we did work together for the Middlesbrough Library Book Festival.
Yeah, we've done lots of things, so, haven't we? Out on the road.
On the road. And indeed, you founded the whole thing on the road. But here we are at the fantastic event that is Countryside Live. The Chief Executive Officer, Nigel Pulling, is actually just coming over. He might say hello. He should have a little wander in there. Very important man. We spoke to him earlier. Jill, what have your thoughts been on the whole event so far?
Well, we haven't been here long, but we've managed to watch the Bird of Prey demonstration, but the Caracara wasn't behaving himself and flew away. And we've been in to see these enormous vegetables, which were very impressive. So, yeah, it's been... I'm enjoying it so far. I'm looking forward to looking around the rest of it.
You've set Gary the task of doing some archery, is that right? Or has he scooted off to another area now?
Yeah, yes.
He's just wandering all over the place. Really.
He's trying to avoid you, I think, with your microphone.
Yeah, okay, Ed.
So, does this mean, Jill, that this has whet your appetite for the Yorkshire Show Grand? Would you be coming back for the Yorkshire Show next year in July?
Well, you know, I was looking in there at some of the baking and the crafts, and I quite fancy entering some of these competitions.
Just briefly, hold on for a second, Jill. Nigel Bulling, can I formally introduce you to Jill Appleton? Jill Appleton, one of the coordinators of the Southside Book of the Month Club.
Oh, hello there.
And Jill's already been impressed with the phenomenal size of the vegetables, is that right?
Yes, definitely.
I've just seen that pumpkin. That's a lot of pumpkin soup there,
yes.
That is.
So, Jill, it's your first time here for Countryside Live. Ed's just asked you the question in terms of, you know, a great sort of part of Yorkshire, come down from Middlesbrough. Would you be coming back again?
Oh, definitely. I feel like entering some of these competitions. I think I could be in with a chance.
What do you think, Nigel?
by all means, this is your first visit.
Yes.
All right. Is it like you thought before you came? Is it what we've delivered, what you thought it was?
Oh, better than I thought. Yeah, it's really good. I think we should have brought the whole family because I think they'd have loved it.
It's very, you know, for the young families. They're the ones who really, there's a lot of them here, as you can see when you look around. But it's a good family show.
Yeah.
And check out the sheep show, that's what I say. They're very good. Nigel, thanks once again. Catch up with you later.
Thank you very much. Bye for now.
Brilliant. Okay, there we are, the Chief Executive Officer. Always sort of has time to actually sort of meet and greet with the small people, Ed.
I think big marrows, small people is always a good way forwards. And it's absolutely wonderful here, considering it's the autumn and it's now late October. It's quite warm, fantastic panoramic views and everything. I've had the best of both worlds. I was in central London yesterday and here this morning with virtually no sleep in between. But I think this wins.
Yes, definitely. It's quite a nice morning, isn't it?
Little teaser ahead to a new programme that's starting or being renewed as far as Southside Broadcasting is actually concerned for our podcast listeners and so on. We talked about it yesterday.
Yes, we might be doing a teen book of the month. So that will get some younger listeners involved. I think that'll be quite fun.
Young person's book of the month. And of course, the first one will be...
We're going to read She's Come and Done by Wally Lamb.
I see. Wally Lamb keeping the actual sort of agricultural thing going as well. Jill, we'll let you sort of soak up some of the other atmosphere and various other bits and pieces. I'd like to find out what David's experience of the archery was, but enjoy.
Yes, thank you, and I might catch up with you later.
Who would have thought that a little over 3 or so months ago, the Skipton Building Society Fashion Pavilion, which still actually has the poster up, guess how many models are on the wall facing the catwalk for your chance to win. As we look at the catwalk now, what do we actually see, Ed Wellman?
An awful lot of cages and one heck of a racket. This would be my idea of hell, I think, if I had to stay in here for the rest of my life.
Well, strangely enough, it's like battery teaching in many ways, so let's have a little wander through this. As we see, obviously, the cockerels have realised that it's time to wake up. And we're looking at a first prize winner here. You see, once again, we don't have Lou Bevan because he has momentarily vanished to actually sort of deconstruct some of these kind of things here. I'll see if we can grab a few words with one of our sort of fine stewards here to actually just explain a little. If we could just interject briefly, could we do a quick piece with your good self for Siren FM? Just a quick interview with your good self. Is that okay?
Yes, that's all right.
Splendid. Share with us, what have we actually got here? What are you leaning over?
That's a cold duck.
A cold duck, okay. Is it a prize-winning duck?
No, it hasn't got a ticket on.
Okay, right. Let's make our way to the duck that's actually around here. Okay. and here we have the first prize winner. So why is this a prize winner? Why did this win first?
It's a nice sheep. It's got a nice round small head and a little short beak.
You're talking about me there. You're talking about the duck.
Duck.
And your name, sir?
I'm Bill Murray.
Bill, share with us, are you one of the official stewards, judges?
I'm one of the judges.
One of the judges.
I was judging the lake on bantams.
So, Ed, questions for one of the key judges here in terms of what's being looked for and so on.
So, I mean, what does this chap, Chap-S?
Boy,
Chap-S. What would she normally be doing around this time of day if she wasn't in a cage in here then?
She'd be at home on a pond or on grass, just enjoying life.
So they don't work for a living or anything?
No. They're just here for a hobby, and that's what they're kept for.
And behind us, we've got a very vocal chap over there in 7/8.
Those are called ducks too, but they're a different colour.
Got a rope on the championship round, lad.
Good lad. But originally, the call ducks were bred to call the wild ducks into the shooting ponds, and that's why they were bred. But they encouraged the wild duck at the shooting ponds for the gentry to shoot the wild duck.
So tell me a little bit about you. How have you got to a position today that you are judging ducks?
Well, I'm not judging ducks. I was judging the Leghorn bantams. The reason I've got this far, I've kept poultry since 1965, so I've had them a long time.
I was going to say since before England won the World Cup, but as a Scotsman, you probably wouldn't want to be reminded of that one.
No, it doesn't matter to me. I'm British and that's it.
Well, we know which way you'll be voting next year then, so we'll hold fire on that.
Well, I think they'll do wrong if they vote for independence.
My worry would be, what about the bantams and the ducks, personally? What would happen about them?
Well, I don't know. There used to be a licence that you couldn't take poultry into Scotland at one time for fowl pest, but that's been relaxed like everything else.
Over the years, whether it's been Countryside Live or the Great Yorkshire Show, we've covered a variety of the fur and feathers area. I must admit, I don't think we've ever encountered ducks or bantams before. What, is this taken seriously within the breeders as a very serious show to actually win prizes in?
Yes, very serious indeed. It's one of the top shows is the Great Yorkshire Show. The main show of the year is at Stoneleigh and Stafford.
And we were talking earlier with some of our cattle breeders about some of the quality that comes through from that perspective. Is it the same with bantams and so on?
Oh, yes. It always goes down to your breed standards and your exhibition stock. Because if you haven't got your exhibition stock, you've lost your foundation stock. And if you lost your foundation stock, where do you go to?
Bill, it's been fantastic. And I noticed they've quietened down because they realise they've had an expert talking here. Still sort of chirping in the background there. It's been a genuine delight, and hopefully we'll see you next year at the Great Yorkshire.
Well, hopefully, yes, I'll be down. Thank you very much.
Now, we're still with Bill Murray. Bill, just about to introduce us to a colleague here.
Yes, this is Mr. Evans.
Mr. Evans, good morning, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Bill's just made a very important point there, which we've always said when we've spoken about pigs and rare breeds and sheep and so on, that actually if it wasn't for people like yourself, then a lot of these species would actually cease to be. They'd become extinct.
That's right. The breed that I keep, the Australopes, there aren't many keep the large Australopes, especially in the north of England. There's a few more down in the south, but it would be nice to get a lot more people interested, you know.
And of course the next generation, because I mean it's looking at sort of the teenagers and the young adults, etc. All sorts are getting involved with it.
Definitely. You find there's a lot of young ones now, and they do all of the juvenile classes as well, and the junior handling classes, which is a good thing to encourage the young ones into the...
And much better than actually spending your time perhaps in front of a PlayStation or computer game, but that's just a personal sort of view there.
Definitely, yes, and they get the fresh air with it as well.
Ed, thoughts from yourself?
No, I just like the view I've got where it's this fashion pavilion right on top of all of these beautifully presented cockerels. Am I right in thinking this side of the room is for show and that side of the room is for lunch?
No. Those ones there are classified as a true bantam. So there's not a standard big size of those kind. Those are just a true bantam, just for ornamental.
Colour
because you get the large foal and the bantam suffer a light breed and suffer a heavy breed, which are miniaturised in the standard size.
Well, I'm going to just have a little walk around, I think, introduce myself to some of these, including this one. I think it's my favourite.
767.
Yeah, I think I'll have him, if that's all right.
Just a comment on your tie there. I see the Australorp Club.
Right. The Australorp Club.
Established 1921.
That's correct. That's right. Ian and Louise Simpson are the joint secretaries, yes. Been going for a long time.
I tell you what, we'll go and get some photographs of the Australorps for the moment, gentlemen. Many thanks indeed.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.